Nothing I enjoy more than being a walking contradiction.
Now I'm an atheist with a guilty conscience.
You are going to be editing overtime this week.
Hello, welcome to How We Saw It, where you will be blinded by science. I am Mike, and as always, the Galileo to my Mendel, the Bill Nye to my Mr. Wizard, Aaron.
What's up, everybody?
So how was your Thanksgiving?
It was mellow, man. I can't complain. Mellow is always good. And it was just, you know, me and my wife and my son and my sister-in-law and her kid and her boyfriend. So it was just, you know, small group of people, which is always nice. How about you?
What's up? Mine was my in-laws, so it wasn't bad. And the Saturday we went to Days of Walton, which is a small community, and we did local shopping.
Oh, cool. Was that where you found the record player you told me about?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Did you find anything else neat, or was it more just like kitschy window shopping?
Just window shopping.
Yeah.
Bunch of junk shops, you know, fun stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's time for everybody's favorite segment, What's Keeping You Sane?
So, what's keeping you sane this week, Aaron?
Well, it was a weird week. I won't say I had a great week. It was pretty stressful mentally. So when we were talking earlier today about, you know, recording and going over stuff that we were going to talk about, and I thought to myself, shit, I don't have anything that kept me sane this week, because it was just that kind of week. So I didn't know what I was going to do. And then when I got home, like, I was sitting on the couch kind of relaxing and unwinding, getting ready for the show. And I'm flipping through the channels, and I found they were playing Roger Waters doing The Wall, like, not with Pink Floyd, just Roger Waters. And I'd never seen it before, so I was kind of watching it. I love that album. Like you lived with me for a very long time, so I'm sure that you can attest to everybody that that album was in pretty much constant rotation for me for a while. Like, I know, like, every line to every song. I know where all the drum parts are and where, like, you know, every bass note hits. It was kind of one of those albums that, like, you know, you have those albums that they pop up at a certain time in your life and you kind of need them.
Right.
Like, they have that kind of message to them or whatever you're going through at the time, this helps you through it. So that album got me through, like, a whole bunch of my mid-20s, earlier in mid-20s when I was going through some rough stuff. And I just felt it was kind of funny that I, flipping through the channels today, and I was feeling pretty awful today. Like, there's that album again. You know, I guess you would say that it didn't so much keep me sane as it just kind of tipped me back over into sane a little bit. Because I have a feeling otherwise this might have been a much different recording.
Thank goodness for Pink Floyd.
Yeah. I know a lot of people kind of, they're like a real divisive band. I know a lot of people don't like them. And I get it, whatever. It's like pompous old Brit rock. It's real theatrical and kind of over dramatic, but I don't care so much. How about you, man? What kept you sane?
Well, I just bought a PSR VR game called Beat Saber. It's a rhythm game where you take a lightsaber like devices and you chop blocks to the beat of a fast paced song.
Okay.
It actually gets your heart rate going and can be used for good exercise. The best part for me is that my wife really loves it. And in fact, she's kind of itching right now for us to finish recording. So I also, like you said earlier, I got my hands on the Technics SL16MK2 turntable. That should mean something to any of the audiophiles out there. My mom ended up getting it for me from a junk shop for $10. It was marked 30, but she got it down to $10. It definitely needs work, but it's a project I'm looking forward to and should give me a nice high-quality record player.
What does it need?
Needs a bell, needs some cleaning, needs a new needle, but those are all readily available.
Yeah. Because
Technics is a pretty popular brand for
Well, hipsters. And let me know. I can always, the next time I go to the record store, I can check for you. Mm-hmm. And if you need anything, I'll pick it up for you.
Right. Might want to ask them if they do repairs, because it might be, have something wrong with it. That's out of my realm of.
Okay. Yeah, I can ask them that.
Expertise, which is none. Then I had some time to kill in town yesterday. So I went to the library.
Yeah.
And I looked at the new selections they got in. And one of the books there was The Good Neighbor, The Life and Work of Fred Rogers by Maxwell King. That caught my eye, so I picked it up. And then within 20 pages, I was having trouble reading due to the tears in my eyes. The man is amazing. It talks about how he took the time for each child who wanted to talk to him, and several situations that ended up causing things to go over schedule. And even the adults he worked with said when you talked to him, you had entered Fred time, where the world seemed to melt away as he would listen and to you talk to him and would treat your problems just like you were a unique, special person. I mean, of course, he wasn't perfect and he had anger issues and family issues, but I really wish we could all strive to be like him. And I think the saddest thing I realized is that there really isn't anyone like him out there anymore.
No, not really anymore.
We're all consumed by our own little world. We don't take in that everyone out there is a real person, that we aren't just actors and things for our own individual play.
There's like a meme floating around that it's like the three purest people in the world, and it's Mr. Rogers, obviously, because I don't think you can get any more good than Mr. Rogers. But it's also Bob Ross and Steve Irwin. And I can almost buy that.
Hot take.
That's a good thing to
cover up with. Hot take.
Hot take.
I'm going to hit you with something here that's intellectual. It's going to make us sound smart. Your thoughts on consumer patriotism, a.k.a. consumer ethnocentrism.
Oh, well, I'm assuming by consumer patriotism, you mean like when I'm driving behind a really big truck and he's got like a Confederate flag on the back and like a big American decal on the front, on the other back window.
Yeah.
Those guys that just need to wear their loyalties to their country on their sleeve, mm-hmm. and everything else they touch. Yeah, it's goofy. I just think it's kind of silly. I think it's mass marketed. Like, I'm sure originally it came from an okay place. People were like, you know, somebody might want little American flags to wave. But then all of a sudden it became like, well, this guy needs a decal on the back of his car. This is fuck liberals, or, you know, you know, save America and kill Hillary, or some, you know, some kind of racist Obama quote or something like that. I think
the Magna stickers.
Yes. Yes. Patriotism to me has always been about, like, you love your country enough to point out when it's flawed. And it just seems to strike me that the people that dip into all that kind of mass market Americana, it's like exactly the opposite. Like, they feel that you're not patriotic if you point out flaws. Like, nobody's perfect. Like, if you were perfect, there would be no room to grow. There would be no room to get better.
Right.
And that's a horrible thought. Like, if this is as best as we can do, ugh. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think I could ever go live somewhere else. Like, I don't think I could ever go to another country and live, like, maybe when I get older or something. Who the fuck knows? But certainly not now. But That doesn't mean that I don't turn on the TV or walk around outside and see things that I don't like and I think are wrong. Like, you're supposed to point that stuff out. You're supposed to point that stuff out so that people can grow and your country can evolve and get better. And I don't know. It just seems like every fucking idiot with a big old American flag decal on the back of his truck and, you know, tons and tons of, you know, bumper stickers and shit like that. Like, they're not really looking to make things better. Like, they're looking to make things more like they want it. which isn't necessarily better. I think it's a subtle way to market intolerance. Or in some cases, not so subtle. Like, I think maybe their intention initially was to make it subtle, but now they just don't care. They're like, no, they'll fucking buy anything.
It's a pretty modern conception that science is an evil practice. In my research for this, I think the most surprising thing that made me feel a little silly is that it's a myth that the Catholic Church suppressed science in the Middle Ages. It was not really the Dark Ages, as a lot of people call it. That's simply not true. The reason the Catholic Church, I mean, they weren't innocent by any means. They imprisoned Galileo. They suppressed science that tended to hurt their power, but they were also leaders because the only literate people in that era that could do the research were the priests, were priests, monks, clergy. They just were the ones that had the education. I think one of the sad facts I found was that in the Muslim world, that there was the golden age of Islam. That was from 800 to 1100 AD. That's when Baghdad was open and you had all these cultures coming, and the Islamic people were leading the fields of mathematics and other sciences. That's why we use the Arabic numbers. We use algebra and algorithms, which are both words from those languages. But then there was a push in the 1100s by Nizam al-Mulk, a grand vizier. He created an education system based on the thought that strict religious study was important over critical thinking. And this held back the Islamic world till today. There's billions of Muslim people, and they only account for less than 1% of the Nobel Prize winners in science. The Jewish people account for 23%. You know, it's... religion hurt the Islamic people. I don't think, and from what I've read, it hasn't held us back as much as us as a world, but it has held the Islamic people back.
Right.
Like, we would be in a wholly different world if they had allowed the scientific thought to continue, and instead they pushed religious schools, which became kind of their version of the Ivy League of just religious study. And that became much more important to follow.
See, that kind of answers my question, because I was going to, like you said, with the Catholics having, you know, done the majority of the research because they were the smart ones. How is it that we went from the religious people being the smart ones to today, where now it's your religious people that are like, science is the fucking work of the devil?
It kind of comes out of the Industrial Revolution. You're going to see that a lot of this suppression is coming out of the 19th and 20th, and now the 21st century. And I think it's due to the rate of the discoveries were so high that society was changing around them.
Mm-hmm. They got scared.
And they were losing their grip as education became a lot more needed and a lot more. You went from men going to school till sixth grade to you need a high school diploma.
Right.
So you're learning these critical thought processes. And once critical thought comes into it, that's when you start to lose your grip on people.
Right. Well, yeah, because they start asking questions and you don't have answers.
And the thing is, you find that political parties use that too. There's a certain political party in this country that's very anti-education because they don't want people to think for themselves. They want people who want to be told what to think, not to be critical thinking on issues of today.
Right. I believe that quote was, "I love the poorly educated."
Mm-hmm. And it's also challenges for religious aspects. The challenge is the notion that man is the lord of the domain, in that there's nothing that can happen to this world that God doesn't allow.
Right.
And climate change is that big stumbling block, because we're saying that man has affected the way of the world so greatly and so drastically that it's going to cause catastrophic change.
Right.
And by saying that, you're kind of saying that God doesn't have the power to protect us from this stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. That's true.
And then I think the other sad thing this all ties into is religion, capitalism, Republicans all tie back to money. And I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but, you know, a regulation against the companies that they can't use this process because it creates the emissions that are damaging the environment is going to cost them money to change.
Right.
And they're not going to want to do that. And it comes down to that, you know, it's money. What's going to, where is that money coming from? Where is it going to?
Yeah.
And it's very much the fuck you, I got mine mentality.
Yeah. Because all the money comes away from the shareholders and the CEOs, all those guys. That's where it's coming from. Not that they won't in turn pass it on to the consumer wherever it comes along.
Hmm.
Hmm. See, that's the thing that kind of throws me, like, oh, well, it's going to cost us so much money to do that. Like, yeah, but then you get to theoretically raise your price. Like, you would think that they would at least give it a try, like, see how it works.
Right.
Like, and it seems like maybe it's because just because of who we are, but like other countries have no problem getting on board with this.
Mm.
Like, we are the asshole uncle at the dinner table of the world. Like, we are the one that picks the fucking fight with absolutely no facts.
Right.
America is the Alex Jones fan.
Right. We ignore the facts as they're put in front of us. You know, our administration ignored their own study.
Yeah, they paid for it.
They paid for it and didn't get the results they wanted. So you have the press sector standing up there saying, you can't do that. There's no sense here. You can't model weather.
I love when you talk about her because the disdain in your voice just turns right up.
It's the hypocrisy of her that pisses me off mm-hmm. so much. You can't be this dear little Christian mother who's fiercely independent and be the lying mouthpiece for the president and be nasty and awful and don't claim to be this great Christian person and not be it. I just saw a great quote from Michael Moore the other day, kind of ties into this. He says, I don't care about Christ and Christmas. What about Christ and the Christians?
Yeah.
If you're Christian leaders out there would show a little bit and be a little more Christ-like, the world would be a little bit better place. Yeah. And I'm sure Christ would be very much into what scientists are finding out about.
The thing that always throws me is, like, they love to throw around that quote, like, especially when they're talking about poor people or people of color that are on any kind of public assistance of anything. They say, well, you know, God helps those that help themselves. They love to throw that around. Like, I've heard that since I was little. God helps those that help themselves. Well, if he's given you scientists, and he's given you doctors, and he's given you all of these other intelligent people that are showing you, like, look, this is what's going on. These are facts, not opinions, facts. Isn't that God helping you? Like, isn't he giving you the fucking tools to fix the issues, like, by taking those tools and using them? Aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing?
I gave you this great brain that can do complex calculations and figure all this stuff out, but don't use it for that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would love it. If God was real, I would love it if he would just drop down in front of some asshole standing by his truck who's barking about how climate change is fake and some kind of, like, globalist conspiracy, and, like, just pop down and be like, slow down, truck nuts. Like, do you not see everything? Like, where, it's willful ignorance. Like, I understand that a lot of it is fear.
Hmm.
Like, nobody wants to admit, like, hey, you know, we fucked the planet up a little bit, and everything we've been doing has got to change a little bit. Like, I understand that that's a scary concept. Like, you know, some people adapt well to change and some do not. But that doesn't mean we don't do it. Like, if somebody comes and says to you, hey, planet's not doing so hot, or theoretically might not be in a specific time frame, we need to change this. I like to think that I would just jump right on that. And I would like to think that anybody that gave a damn about their future generations, like, do you know what I mean? Like their family line going down, you know, like after they die, don't you want to leave an okay place for them to live too?
And that's like, the angry part is people who are going to die in the next 15 years
are the ones making the fucking decisions on it. Like, they're not going to see any of this.
No.
I mean, hopefully they're not going to see any of this, because I don't want to live in a world where everything goes to shit and they're still alive. Like, that just feels like sticking it in and breaking it off. Like, no thank you. Like, if I can't go outside and breathe and I have to wear, like, SPF 1776 to not burst into flames when I walk outside, and you tell me that, like, Orrin Hatch and Donald Trump were hanging out somewhere. I don't know. Like,
they're on the spaceship that gets to escape with Elon Musk.
Oh, God. That fucking guy. Elon Musk. Did you see that quote from him about no one ever changed the world working 40 hours a week? Like, nobody, like, basically saying, like, if you're only going to work 40 hours a week, you'll never change it. Fuck you, man.
Oh, man.
And he's, like, that's just a rotten ass thing to say, right?
Just a little bit.
Like, oh, you work 40 hours a week? That's like saying anybody who, like, that's basically like saying anybody that goes to work every day and does their fucking time and does their job to the best of their ability, who cares? Like, oh, yeah, fuck, man. Fuck you, you're not changing anything.
I hear that,
like,
all the time.
To something like that, I say, like, watch us.
I hear that all the time where I work, you know.
Do you really?
Yeah. The only ones who get ahead are the ones who put in that extra.
Yeah.
Oof.
You know what? I think people would be a lot more apt to put in that extra bit of oomph if they were... if they were fairly compensated for the oomph. And I don't think that they are.
No. And yeah, it's just crazy that the people in charge choose to ignore. I'm going to leave that in. Choose to ignore the scientific reports and issues, you know. It's there. I think it's the stats, like something like 97% of scientists say climate change is man-made, we need to do something. So they latch onto that 3%.
Yeah, well, it's not all of them. When is it ever? Like, science doesn't work like that.
And sometimes the 3% doesn't need a voice.
Yeah, maybe it's they're dumb scientists, I'm sure. I bet it's not 97% of them, though.
Right.
Like, if you gave me a group and said, like, here's 97% of people that think this way, and here's 3% that think this way, who are you going to believe? Probably not the three. Like, when it's coming to scientists, like, probably not the three.
I think one of the things they have problems adjusting to is those 97% of scientists want to be proved wrong by the 3%. They want their studies to be broken.
Yeah, because then that means wrong. Things aren't that bad. Like,
no, not even that. That's the way science works. Is I put a theory out there. I put a study out there, hypothesis. I want to challenge the hypothesis. I want that to be proven wrong. That shows the method of science. Religion does not allow that. You can't challenge it. You can't speak up against it. That is where these people don't understand how science works. Science is not the law. Science does not have one answer. Science is constantly striving for the answer. And by, the only way to do that is to challenge notions, to challenge the rules out there. And
yeah. Because otherwise nothing ever progresses.
Exactly.
That just becomes where you are.
when the people in power are comparing it to the way the church works and all that stuff, they can't understand how science works. Like, I hate nothing more than someone saying, oh, evolution is just a theory. Look up the motherfucking word for what theory is in science. That means it's basically proven, you know?
You said motherfucker.
I was kind of a little angry there.
Yeah. Fire up. I mean, the government doesn't take science seriously, period. Like, I think you could, like, we've been talking mostly about climate change, but because that's the one that they're the most like fingers in the ears, like la 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 la, kind of like they just don't want to hear it. But they don't give a fuck about science on any level. Like, we don't take medicine seriously. We don't take the science of mental health seriously. Like, we haven't, what fucking diseases have we cured lately? Anything? Or did we just figure out a pill to help people maintain?
Fuck, we brought back diseases because people are fucking idiots.
Because people are dumb. Because Jenny McCarthy said it was a good idea. What the fuck is wrong with you people?
This disproven study and some Hollywood celebrity said that vaccines are bad, so I'm not going to believe my doctor.
Yeah, don't believe that guy that went to college for a really long time to study specifically those things. You could trust the card girl from Singled Out. Good job, America. Now we've all got scarlet fever and whooping cough. I saw something the other day, I'm drawing a blank on what, it was like measles or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I was a kid, like, I remember getting my shot and they'd be like, my mom was like, oh, it's for measles, whatever. And, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, whatever. And I remember asking her, like, what the fuck the measles were, because I didn't know anything. And like, it wasn't around anymore. Like, we had come up with a vaccine to get rid of it. But now all of a sudden somebody doesn't want to do it anymore. Cause like, oh, I'm going to pour some essential oils down my kid's throat. And we're just going to see how that goes. Well, good. He's going to smell like lavender when he dies. Congratulations.
You made the autopsy easier.
Yeah. Or at the very least, a little more pleasant. Like, how could you be so willfully stupid with your own children's lives? Now, I'm not saying that every kid that doesn't get vaccinated fucking dies. But I'm saying more often than not, when a kid dies from something weird like that, it's because they weren't fucking vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. It's dangerous to society not to be vaccinated. There's a thing called herd immunity. Yeah. It's to protect the less strong of our species.
And I get it. Nobody, like, maybe it's the word. Maybe calling it like the herd thing.
Mm.
Maybe that offends people, right? Like, well, I'm going to go against the herd. Yeah, I'm not a sheep. I'm going against the herd. Please don't. Like, you're just going to end up slowing other people down and fucking everything up for the rest of us. Like, sometimes it's okay to go with the herd. When your kid doesn't die horribly or become disfigured in some way from whatever the ravages, like I'm sure polio's coming back at some point. Like, I don't know. Get the fucking shot. And don't listen to dumb president who's like, well, I think they give him too many too fast. Like, do you know how many kids you have? I bet he doesn't. Yeah, I guarantee you he would say 4. Because Tiffany doesn't count.
She's like the Meg of the family.
She is the Meg of the family.
Wow.
Right? She's the, yeah. The poor girl's the Meg of the family.
You bring up a good point there, though, is
the
word usage. Yeah. Word usage. And that's scary to me because that's saying we're not being educated. We aren't.
We aren't.
We don't understand these things. I mean, it took to my adulthood to find out what a theory is in science. Well, here, I'll define it for our audience in case people don't need to define it for other people. A scientific theory is a well-substantiated explanation of some aspect of the natural world based on a body of facts that has been repeatedly confirmed through observation and experiment. Such fact-supported theories are not guesses, but reliable accounts of the real world. So And science theory is not like, I have a theory that Aaron's feet stink because he eats cheese. Is not. I'm going to cut that out. I'm trying to make a joke.
I mean, I don't know if that's why.
I need a joke. I need to cut that out. I need a better joke.
All right.
Because that's actually science.
That is, as it is, yeah.
We could study that and find out if the fact that you eat cheese causes your feet to stink so badly. I'm leaving that in.
All right, leave it in. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Fuck it.
But even like, think about, all right, so it is the end of 2018. We're rolling on 2019. We are just now admitting that marijuana has medicinal uses. Just now. Come on. Like, I've known plenty of people over the years that have used it for like pain management and you know, to mellow them out when they have anxiety and shit like that. Like, why are we just now admitting that it might have use? Like, why was the former AG so anti jazz cabbage? Why do we still treat that as if it's some kind of like nefarious street drug? I've known plenty of potheads in my life, not of violent people. Most of them fall asleep too, you know, they fall asleep too quick.
It goes back to Nixon politics. Yeah. You know, you can't go busting up Black Panthers or hippies when you have no reason to, but all of a sudden
now you have a reason.
Schedule one drug, you now have a reason to go in and bust them up. And he couldn't deschedule it. He couldn't not let it be that guy who allowed the Black Panthers and the hippies to flourish.
But like, it's got like, I mean, since it's become a little bit more acceptable now, like there's a whole bunch of states now that have, you know, decriminalized it or whatever, made it legal for recreational use and medicinal use. And they've all made plenty of money off of it. Good. And ultimately that's what they want. It's not about helping anybody, not in the long run. It's about how much revenue can they bring in because of it. Massachusetts made something in the neighborhood of like $2 million in like the first first week or something like that. It was like an absurd amount of money in a very short amount of time. Like, I just don't understand why no one else is jumping on this. Mm. Like, when my father-in-law was sick, he used it for pain management. And it gave him back his appetite. Like, he ended up putting on like 5 or 10 pounds just because he was using it. How is that ever a bad thing? Like, how is it bad to look at somebody that's ill and in some instances, you know, maybe they're dying, or in some instances, maybe they're not. It doesn't have to be that extreme in one direction or the other. Like, they just need it, right? How is it a bad thing to alleviate someone's pain in whatever capacity that pain is? How is it bad? But you still have these dusty old fuckwads in Washington and in places of political power that are they're hanging on to facts and figures that weren't even accurate when they were brought about in the fucking 20s.
Hmm.
You know, like, they're so antiquated and just a trying to think of the word to use. Like, it just holds everything back on a whole.
Hmm.
Like, think of how many, like, I don't think, don't get me wrong, I'm like one of those crazy people that thinks that marijuana cures every fucking disease known to man. I think that's just absurd as saying it does nothing. But it clearly does something.
Hmm.
And if it does something for one person, isn't that worth looking into on the whole for everybody? It's not like people walk around in a fucking stone stupor all the time. most of it is, you know, oil-based drops. So it gives you the positive effect of you don't hurt, or it gives you the positive effect of you've calmed down a little bit. But you're not walking around high. Jesus Christ. And even if you were, they like to say things like, well, you know, what about drivers? People drink and drive, right? What do we do with those people? Give them a fucking ticket? Take them to jail? Why does marijuana have to be any different? If you are a cop and you pull somebody over and they're lit as can be, take their fucking keys, give them a ticket, and that's it. Go on with your fucking day. You shouldn't be treating them any different than you would treat a drunk driver.
And this brings up another educational moment here. A lot of times you'll see people will say harder drugs are caused by marijuana use.
And this is it's the gateway drug.
Yeah, and this is a causation versus correlation type situation. Correlation does not imply causation. Just because two things tend to will happen in the same time frame or might be associated with each other does not mean they are caused by that. I think there's more of a causation for hard drug use with alcohol, you know?
Yeah. And I would go so far as to say that alcohol is a far worse drug.
Thank goodness for two tracks.
I know more people that have fucked their life up on alcohol than I know people that have fucked their life up on weed.
All right. The worst you're going to do is nothing and waste your life away. Because you don't have the ambition.
Eating snacks. Talking about the things you didn't do.
And these amateur scientists with pot are finding ways to make strains that actually don't cause the procrastination and...
Yeah, to take away some of the lesser qualities.
To enhance the ones that give you energy, give you creativity... You know, push those buttons. That's why when creative people use weed, they find that they're more creative. So these amateur scientists, they're breeding plants that do that. And it's amazing stuff. The horticulture of marijuana is a fascinating subject. And looking at all the strains out there is amazing. And the best part is it's fun for these guys to find it all.
Yeah. You know?
Science can be fun.
And... You take that and you sell it, you tax it, and then you take that money and you pump it back into your communities. You fix your roads. You fix your buildings. You know, if you're in Michigan, you give Flint fucking water, for Christ's sake. It's all, like, it makes no goddamn sense to me. Like, you're looking at a potential cash cow of revenue, just an endless fucking supply. It's like a license to print money. Do it. Just fucking do it. Put the money to some good use. Put it into the schools. How would that be for irony? You know, every time Nancy Reagan told me as a kid to just say no, like, well, no, now that's what bought the gym. Like, you know, like the Memorial Weed Gym.
Well, that's the thing, is that we can put it back into education. We can teach these kids that, hey, you have a long life ahead of you where you're going to get to do all this fun stuff.
But
at age 16, maybe you shouldn't be smoking weed as much because it will affect the chemistry of your brain. And
so you put an age limit on it, like you would, like they do with alcohol. It doesn't have to be 21 because that's fucking dumb. I don't know.
No, scientists
make it.
The little studies they have done has shown that age 18 is about when you can smoke it and not suffer as many problems. So
So there you go. You're old enough to buy cigarettes at 18, and those are terrible for you.
No good. My neighbor got a new bass speaker in the mail today. Now my floor is shaking. Hopefully the mic doesn't pick it up.
I didn't hear anything.
Our podcast gets taken down for a copyright strike.
Oh, right.
Well, speaking of copyrights, Aaron, why don't you lead us out with the business of the podcast?
And now for the business portion of the show. You can find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. Please leave us a review and then head over to the Facebook page where Mike and I are actively trying to be more involved and to take our social media seriously. And if you want to check out my blog where I talk about politics, go to thevoiceinbetween.wordpress.com.
Science. So we failed in creating a sex robot during this episode, but we will try again in the future.
I know. No weird science moment for this episode, but you can always do science 2.0.
Right.
And I do want to bring up, before I forget, we have an actual Facebook group now.
What?
It's I believe it's How We Saw It podcast. So if you're not already on there, come on over and hang out, and we're gonna try and have discussions, and everybody should feel free to you know, just comment shit, tell us what you think of the show, what you like, what you don't like. Maybe tone down the don't like. Mike is sensitive.
That's true.
But yeah, come hang out.
That would be
fun. Talk about science.
Yes.
You can listen to me ramble about weed more. I don't know.
Back in my day.
Back in my dime bag cost a dime.
As always, thank you for tuning in. We hope to see you next week. And this will be out Tuesday as long as I edit it. Talk to y'all later.
Later, y'all.
Haha.